Tzitzan, Pashas Vayikra.
Morning, everyone. This week, Parshas Zochar, we have the mitzvah to remember the mighty Amalek, what Amalek did to us on the way out of Mitzrayim. The Haftarah, famous Haftarah, when Shmuel Hanavi told Shaul HaMelech to go and fight against Amalek. The Pasuk says, the first Pasuk in the Haftarah, I think according to the Sfadim is the first pasuk. The Ashkenazim don't say this pasuk. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel said to Shaul, Oisi Sholach Hashem, me the Ribbono Shel Olam has sent Limshochacha leMelech al Amo Yal Yisrael. I was sent to appoint you as the king over Klal Yisrael. Va'ato Shma leKoyel Divrei Hashem. And now listen to the command of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Koyom Hashem Tzvokos. So says the Ribbono Shel Olam, Pokadati Eis Asher Oso Amalek Li Yisrael. I'm remembering what Amalek done to Klal Yisrael, Asher Som Lei Baderech Baleisim in Mitzrayim. And Shaul HaMelech was commanded to go to Amalek and to kill off Ish, Isha, Oilel, V'yoinek, Shor, V'seh, everything. Men, women, children, animals, everything. To totally destroy them. What did Shaul do? Famously, we know that Shaul left. He captured Agog, the king of Amalek, alive, and he was vayachmol alav. He had pity on him, and similarly, the tzoin and the boka, he didn't kill them, and he was chos amitva tzoin. He had pity on him. So at the end of the story, Shmuel comes back. And he says to Shaul, "V'gam v'yoyim eilov Shmuel, Kora Hashem es mamluchus Yisrael mi'alecha ayoyim. Hakshporuch has removed you from being the king, and the son of Lareach atoiv mimecha, because he didn't carry out his command." At the very end of that Torah. Then Shmuel, Hagishu Elias Agag Melech Amalek. Shmuel says, "Bring to me Agag." Vayimah Shmuel. Shmuel said to Agag, "Kasha Shiklo Noshim Charbecha. The same way that you made women into widows, Kein Tishkal Minoshim Imecha. Similarly, your mother should lose you as a child." Vayishasiv Shmuel es Agag Lifnei Hashem, and Shmuel killed Agag Lifnei Hashem. And the famous question is asked. Agog is an Amaleki. There's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. And that's really what Shaul was commanded to do over here. So when Agog is killed, and Shmuel kills Agog, why is Shmuel killing Agog? Simply because he's an Amaleki. But no, Shmuel doesn't say that. Shmuel says to Agog, "Vayomer Shmuel, kasher shiklo noshim charbecha, just like you killed husbands of women, and you turned them their wives into almonis. You turned them into widows. Kein tishka menoshim imecha. What did he need that for? Why didn't he just simply say, Agog, you're an Amaleki. I'm killing you. There's a mitzvah of mechias Amalek. Why did Shmuel seemingly he only killed him because Agog was a reitzeach, and Chazal say that Agog used to kill young Yiddish men." And that's why Shmuel killed him. Whereas, was it not enough that Agog is an Amaleki? And if Agog is an Amaleki, he must be killed. Timcha zeicha Amalek, mitachas ha-shamayim. So the Rambam in Hilchas Melachim juxtaposes two mitzvahs. One mitzvah of killing the Shiva Amamim, le'sachai kol neshama, the Shiva Amamim who live in Eretz Yisrael. And there's another mitzvah of mechias Amalek. At the end of the mitzvah of Shiva Amamim, the Rambam says, "Pekhei Hilchas Melachim Alocha Vav, Umi Shabali Yodoi." And someone who comes to his hand, a goy who's Mishiva Amamim, he has to kill them. And if he doesn't, he's mevatel mitzvah zu. As a result, the Rambam benegea to the Hariga, benegea to the mitzvah of killing out the Shiva Amamin. The next halacha, the Rambam says, mitzvah sasei le'abed zeicha amalik. And when the Rambam brings that mitzvah, then the Rambam makes no mention that if an Amaleki comes if someone is brought to his attention that this guy is an Amaleki, that he has to kill him. The Rambam makes no mention that one has to, that if he doesn't do it, he's mevatel mitzvah seizu. And the Chinuch famously does say by mitzvah mechias Amalek that if a person will chance upon an Amaleki, he has to kill him. But the Rambam makes no mention of this. So what's the nafkimina between mitzvah harigas shiva amamim, killing out the seven nations lived in Eretz Yisrael, where there it seems that if someone will chant upon a Knani, he has to kill him. Whereas in the Rambam is meduyuk that if someone will chant upon an Amaleki, he does not have to kill him. Surely there's a mitzvah of Timche Zeich Amalek. So the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Melachim says, brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Shalosh mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael beknisoson l'Eretz Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are three mitzvahs to do when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. The first one is limnois lehem melech, to appoint a king. And the second one is lahachris zarei shel Amalek. And the third one is livnois beis habechira, to build a beis hamikdash. In that order, first a melech, then lahachris zarei shel Amalek, and then livnois beis habechira, to build a beis hamikdash. And the Gemara brings the makor for this. The makor is the pasuk at the end of Parashas Beshalach that says, "Ki yod al keis ka, milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. Ki yod al keis ka, when there'll be a king al keis ka on the throne of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That means when there'll be a Yiddish king, then there'll be milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. Then there'll be a mitzvah of mechias amalek. And therefore, first there's a mitzvah of l'hamid le'melech." And only after that, there's a mitzvah of l'hamid zarei shel Amalek. Says the Urim and says the Ramban in Parshas Beshalach. That doesn't just mean to say that one has to be mekayim the mitzvah of minui melech, and after that be mekayim the mitzvah of mechias zarei shel Amalek. It's a lot more than that. It means that the whole mitzvah of mechias Amalek is nema on a melech. A melech is the one who has the mitzvah to be machri zara shal Amalek, and it's up to him to take out his troops into battle against Amalek. Ki yod al keis ka milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. Who has to make that milchama? A melech, he's the one who has to make that milchama. This mitzvah is on a melech. And therefore, if someone chances upon an Amaleki, he has no mitzvah to kill him. He's not a melech. Only a melech has the mitzvah of mechias Amalek. Whereas a Knani, where it says Leisachal Kol Neshama, and there's no mention of there having to be a Melech, then even if someone will chance upon a Knani, he's going to have to kill him. Mashenkin Amaleki, because one needs a Melech, Mitzvah Lahamid Lahem Melech, Ve'achkach Lahachri Zare Shal Amalek, and the whole mitzvah of Mechias Amalek is Nema on a Melech. Therefore, without a Melech, there's no mitzvah at all. So when Shmuel comes back to Shaul, and he told him that you've lost being the king. From the Korah Hashem Mamluchus Yisrael Miyadecha of Nesan Cholerecha Atoy Mimeka, as soon as Shmuel told Shaul that from now on you're not going to be the king anymore, there was no longer a melech. If there's no longer a melech, we can't kill Agog as Mechias Amalek, because Agog can only be killed with Mechias Amalek, and for that you need a melech. Korah Hashem Mamluchus Yisrael Miyadecha, Shaul is no longer a melech. There's going to be another melech. David will be appointed to be melech. And therefore Agog can't be killed as mitzvahs mechias Amalek. So how could Shmuel kill Agog? That's why Shmuel had to come along and say a new time. Do you know why I'm killing you, Agog? Because you're a tzeach. Kasher entshich lo noshim charbechot kein tishkal menoshim imecho. You're a tzeach, and that's why I'm killing you. But if you, as mitzvahs mechias Amalek, that no longer applies. There's no melech. Ki yod al keis ko, one needs a melech. A melech has a mitzvah to be moich zara shel Amalek. Interesting thing is that the Gemara says in Megillah that Esther Amalka sent to the Chachomim Kosvuni Ledoiris. Let's write as part of the Kisvei HaKodesh Megillas Esther. And the Chachomim sent back to her, no shileishim v'lo ribeim, mitzvah, the Milchemes Amalek can only be written three times in Kisvei HaKodesh. And it's already written three times. There's already one in Bishalach, one in Kiseitse, and one in Shmuel. We can't write it more than three times. And then afterwards, the Gemara says they found the pasuk which was merumas that no, we can write it a fourth time as well, and therefore they wrote Megillas Esther. So the it seems in the Gemara that the ksiva of Megillas Esther is essentially a ksiva of Milchemes Amalek, and therefore when Esther sent to the Chachamim Kisfuni Ledoiros, they sent back to her and they said to her, we can't write Milchemes Amalek more than three times. You want to write Milchemes Amalek a fourth time. Haman is the Einikul of Amalek, and the Maisa of Megillah is a Maisa of Milchemes Amalek. And we know Rashi says in Yeshaya, Milchom al Hashem ba'Amalek midor dor, there's going to be a Milchom against Amalek midor dor, and Rashi says, midor shal Moshe, ledor shal Mordechai. Dor shal Mordechai, there was a Milchemes Amalek. And the question is asked, if in dor shal Mordechai there's a Milchemes Amalek, but where's the Melech? In order to make a Milchemes Amalek, one needs a Melech. If one doesn't have a Melech, then there's no mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. So how can Harigas Haman be considered a Milchemes Hashem Amalek Midor Dor? Surely one needs a Melech. Zot Rav Yonis in the Yaris Tavash and Murray Digazach. It states in the Megillah, Umodachai Yotzol Lefnei HaMelech, Belevush Malchus, Tcheles Vachur, V'Aterazov Gedoyla. Mordechai was appointed to be Mishnah LeMelech. Why did Mordechai accept the offer to be Mishnah LeMelech? He could have refused it. He could have said, you know what, Achashverosh, I'm very happy. It's very nice of you to offer me the position of being Mishnah LeMelech. I've just got better things to do. You know, I'm part of the Sanhedrin. I've got other things to do. Why did he have to accept the appointment of being Mishnah LeMelech? For what reason did he accept that appointment? And he accepted it. And we know at the end of the Megillah, Rashi brings that because he became Kor of LeMalchus, Parashu Mimenu Mixah Sanhedrin. They weren't happy about it, the Mikzah Sanhedrin. So why did Mordechai not find it necessary? Why did Mordechai find it necessary to accept the appointment of being Mishnah LeMelech? Surely he could have said, you know what, it's fine, I don't need it. The Teretz is because Mordechai wanted to be a Melech. If he was a Melech, then he can go and make a Mechoma against Haman and the other people who stood up against Klal Yisrael, and kill them with the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. Therefore, Mordechai accepted to be the Mishnah LeMelech. So, in the Maisa of Shmuel, Shaul was the Melech, and in the Maisa of Mordechai ve'Esther, killing Haman, Mordechai was the Melech. So, Moreh deGezach, we find in the Megillah that when Mordechai sent out the letters to the Eden, he said that. He said, you go along and you make a mechoma against them. Yashenosan Hamelech laYehudim liKoil v'Lam with Alnafshom. You give them a right to defend themselves and to do what? And to kill all the people who are standing against them. Taf v'Noshim, Taf v'Noshim, to kill out the Taf v'Noshim. Now, what can the Taf do? What can these Taf do? What can these children do? The children can't do anything. Their father comes out there with a machine gun and tries to kill some Yidden, and you go along and kill his children. Why should he kill his taf? What can they do? So the Targum in Esther says that all the 75,000 people who were killed fighting against the Eden, they were all Amalekim. There were 75,000 people, which it says in the Megillah, were killed over Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph Nissan. They were all Amalekim. So if they were all Amalekim, then there's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. And Mechias Amalek, we know the halacha is, Timcha Ezecha Amalek, one kills Anoshim, Noshim, v'taf. So therefore, the taf was the killed. Not because they were going to do any damage, but because they're Amalekim and there's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. It's stated in Pasuk in Megillah, Haman came to Achashverosh and he told him, Yeshno Yam Echad, there is one nation out there, Mufuza, Mufurad, Beno Amim. And he offered Achashverosh a deal. He said, Aseres Alofim Kika Kesef, Eshkel Ayidei Oysa Amalacha, I'll pay you 10,000 Kika Kesef in order to have the rights to be able to destroy the Eden. Achashverosh turned around and he said, HaKesef, no, you keep the money for yourself. Va'om las is boikatov beinecha. And the Gemara says in Megillah Dafter Zayin, Moshul lahoman ba'achashverosh lemoad avodoyma. There was someone who had a field, and that field he had a tail. He had an unnecessary pile of earth. And he was looking for charitz. He was looking for a ditch to be able to put that earth inside the tail. So he looks around, and eventually he finds someone who has a charitz, and he's looking for a tail. So he finds someone who's got a ditch in his field, and he's looking for some earth to fill it up with. So kach Achashverosh v'homa. Achashverosh, he has the tail. He has this tremendous pile of earth. He has the Jewish problem. The tail is the Yidden. And Achashverosh is desperate to get rid of them. Haman, he doesn't have the Yidden under his shlita. He's not the king. But he has the charitz. He has the solution. He's got the final solution. Achashverosh has got the Jewish problem. Haman's got the final solution. So, Achashverosh takes his tail and he puts it into Haman's ditch. And then that way everyone's problems are solved. And it's more than that, says the Gemara, because the Baal HaTail, the one Achashverosh who owns the tail, he's prepared to pay money to somebody in order to take care of his earth. And similarly, the Baal HaCharitz, he's prepared to spend money in order to find some earth to put inside his charitz. So therefore, when Haman offered to Achashverosh aseres alofim kikar kesef, 10,000 silver kikrim, in order to buy the Yidden of him, Achashverosh said, "Hakesef nosun loch." Do you know why he said "Hakesef nosun loch"? Because he wanted to spend money in order to contract somebody to get rid of the Yidden for him. So this was a fantastic deal from both sides. Achashverosh was looking for someone to fill up to take his tail and to fill up the charitz, and he was prepared to spend money on that. And Haman was looking to buy some Yidden to fill up his charitz. He had the solution, but he had no Yidden to put inside them. So therefore, Achashverosh said to Haman, "We'll cancel out Hakesef Nosen Loch. I'm charging you Aseres Alofim Kikar Kesef for the Yidden, and you're charging me Aseres Alofim Kikar Kesef in order to deal with my problem." Okay, Hakesef Nosen Loch, but Om Nasis Beikatoiv Beinecha. And in fact, there was an actual mechira going on. Achashverosh actually sold the Yidden to Haman, like Esther Amalka said, "Kinim karnu aniva ami lahashmid laharig laabed." We've been sold lahashmid laharig laabed. The hakes of Nosen Loch doesn't mean to say Achashverosh turned around and said, "You know, I don't need the money. It's fine. Don't give me the money. I'll give them to you anyway." No. He didn't say hakes of Mochel Loch, says the Gaon. He said hakes of Nosen Loch, because I'm doing with you a deal, you're doing with me a deal. I've got a problem, you've got the solution. So you're giving me 10,000 kikar kesef to buy off you the Yidden, and I'm giving you 10,000 kikar kesef in order to deal with my problem of having the Yidden. Frek the Chem de Shleima says, "I don't understand. Bishleima Haman, he's got a charitz, he's got a ditch, and he has no way of making any gzeira against the Yidden, l'ashmin de l'harig al-abed. He's not the king, he's the Mishnah l'melech. He needs to get Achashverosh on board in order to be able to do something to the Yidden. But surely, Achashverosh, he's the king. And we know Chazal tell us that Achashverosh hated the Yidden even more than Haman. So why did Achashverosh not just give out the Gezerah on his own? Surely Achashverosh has the tail, the Gemara says, but he doesn't have the charitz. No, surely he has the charitz as well. He could also provide the very same solution. What did they do in the end? What did Haman do in the end of the day? He wrote out these igros, these letters, which were signed with Achashverosh's tabas, and he gave them around, and he sent them to all 127 Medinas. What took Achashverosh so long to think of that eitzah if he hated the Yidden so much? And why did he need Haman? He could, instead of Vayosa Melech Tabato Imel Yoda Vayitnol Haman Ben Amdosa Agogit Soya Yudim, you hate the Jews, so do something about it. What took so long? Why did he need Haman over there? What was the point of bringing Haman on board? So the Chem de Shleima says, Achashverosh knew that if he was going to try and make this project of getting rid of the Eden on his own, it's not going to work. He needs to bring Haman on board. Why does he need Haman? Because Haman is an Amaleki. And the Amalekim, they have a special koyach, a unique koyach against the Eden, which no other Ummah possesses. Reishis goyim Amalek v'achrisa yadei oivid. They are the spitz of the koyach ora. And without having the koyach of Amalek on board, you're not going to be able to entirely eradicate the Eden. And therefore, Achashverosh wanted to contract the services of Haman ben Amdasa HaGogi, who is an Amaleki, in order to be able to come to Lahashmi al-Harig al-Abid. He knew, as powerful as he is and as strong as he is, being the Melech of 127 Medinas, but he will not be able to totally Lahashmi al-Harig al-Abid. For that, you need an Amaleki on board. And for that, he had to bring in Haman. And why is it, Zotnechem de Shlomo, why is it Taka that Amalek have this unique koyach against the Yidden which no one else has? See, he explains the Chem de Shlomo that the koyach of Amalek lies in the pasuk in Parashas Toldos. Yaakov Avinu got the brachas from Yitzchak, and then he got the brachas. The brachas was is the destiny of Klal Yisrael. That's Vayitelachari Elohim Mitala Shemayim Mishmane Oretz. That is, like the Rambam is Mavu in Hilchas Malachim, that is when Yaakov became the father of Klal Yisrael. Esav comes in, furious about the brachas, and he asks his father, "Habrocha achas hilecha avi, do you not have anything left for me?" And Yitzchok says to him, "Al chabrucha tichye, vesachicha tavoid. You're going to live by your sword, vesachicha tavoid. You're going to have to serve your brother." But Zorashi kasha torid, when Yaakov is not being mekayim Torah mitzvahs, uforakto uloi meyal tzavarecha, you'll be able to take his oil meyal tzavarecha. He won't any. No longer will there be a matzav of v'rav yavitzoy, that the older brother will serve the younger brother. Rather, you will be in top of him. That means that Esav, who Amalek is his descendant, and Amalek is the tamtis of Esav, the Sfarim say, Amalek, he draws his power directly from the Averis, which he didn't do. All other kings, all other Golosim, there comes a time that the Ribbono Shel Olam decides, Achashverosh, he's going to be the ruler of the entire world. And he gives him power. The Yevonim, it comes a time, the Ribbono Shel Olam decides, they're going to be the most powerful Malucha in the world. But Amalek, there's only one way that they come to power, and that is v'hoyo kasher torid hakol kol Yaakov v'yodai midei Esav zot degoin hakol kol Yaakov heikal kol Yaakov. When it becomes weaker, the kol of Yaakov, when the kol of Yaakov in the bottom midrashim and the bottom kinesios is weak, then v'yodai midei Esav, they draw their power directly from the averus which the Yidden do, and therefore the koyach which they have against the Yidden is also unique. To such an extent that it's only them who it's only through the means of using an Amaleki that Achashverosh understood he'll get anywhere near Lahashmid al-Harig al-Abid. Seemingly he needed Haman to instigate it. He needed Haman to come along and say, "I'm going to be the one to write out those igros, and I'm going to be chosim it with your tabas." But he needed Amalek over there on board. There's particularly one Avera which gives Koyach to Amalek more than any other Avera. When the Eden were on the way out of Mitzrayim and they were in Rephidim, what Avera brought Amalek? The Avera which brought Amalek, Chazal say, was the Avera of Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyen. They questioned, "Is Hashem b'kibenu? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us?" And Chazal say, "Moshe la'odom, shehirkiv b'nei al kaseifa v'yotza l'derech." A man took his child on a journey and he was carrying him on his shoulders. Hayo'osei ha'ben ro'yach chifetz, he saw things lying around on the derech. V'oimeh, and he said, "Abba, tel chifetz v'teni, give me that thing which is on the floor." V'noisin lo'y. And he saw another chayfetz, and he said to his father, "Give me that, I want that." And then they met someone on the way. That child was sitting on his father's shoulders. He says to the man who he met, "Ra'isa, Abba, have you seen my father? Where's my father? I can't see him." Aviv, "Do you not know where I am? You're on my shoulders." He threw him down, and the kelev came and bit him. And he said, "Now you'll know where I am. Till now you are on my shoulders." Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim and they saw Nisim Geluyim. Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchemes Amalek, they were like a child being carried on their father's shoulders. V'es or eschem, al kamfi nisharim. But sitting on the father's shoulders, one can forget. It just comes all so normal. Oy, hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu emayin. That brings the kelev of Amalek. Ba'a kelev v'noshcho, it does is Amalek. Amalek comes when there's a shayla, when someone is mistapik, and he says, hayesh Hashem b'kibeinu emayin. The whole mice of Megillas Esther is punk faket and is a tikkun mamish on the Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. We know that in Megillas Esther it's not mentioned b'chlal Shem Hashem. The Shem Yud Kevavke, any Shem Hashem is not mentioned at all in Megillas Esther. And that's because the Nisim of Megillas Esther, famously we know, are Nisim Nistarim. It was a sequence of events which HaKadosh Baruch put simultaneously in place together with the Torah. As the Torah was unfolding, the Yeshua was also, Vashti was out, Bigson and Saresh were deposed of through Modcha. Everything was in place before Gidol HaMelech HaChashverosh's Oman. Esther was strategically placed in the Beis HaMelech. Modcha had done his part, and only then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the Yeshua. There was Nisim, but it was Nisim Nistarim. It was things which could all be explained away as nature. It was just a sequence of events which played out so beautifully into which it could have been considered a remarkable coincidence. But nevertheless, the avodah of Yid is to say it looks like it's Nista, but Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, to go along and put Shem Hashem into the Megillah, to be Megala the Shem Hashem in the Megillah, in the Teva, that's the tikkun of the Maisa Amalek, who came along and say, Hayesh Hashem b'kribeinu. We said Hayesh Hashem b'kribeinu, and when there was Nisim Geluyim, we were weak in seeing that Hashem is b'kribeinu, and therefore the tikkun on that is, in the Nista, to say that this sequence of events was by no means a coincidence, rather this was Hashem Hashem b'kribeinu who brought this all about, that's the ultimate tikkun of Amalek. Amalek jumps into Batir Isachas. They refuse to accept the truth, even when there's compelling evidence. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, and there was Nisim Geluyim. Shomu Amir Yurgozun, Chil Ochaz Yeshu Ploshes. All the Goyim, they were traceling, they were petrified. And Amalek knew quite well what was going on, but he refused to accept it. They resist the truth at all costs. And he jumps into the Ambatir Isachas, and he knows he's going to get burned. But he does not want to be. He does not want to accept the truth. He insists that everything is entirely a coincidence. And Faket, Unz Klal Yisrael, we have a Maisa of Megillas Esther, which for Emerson can be explained away as a coincidence. And we say, no, Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Dor, Hashem is B'kirbeinu. And we see the Ribbono Shel Olam in that Nista, does it the tikkun for the chet of Amalek, for the chet of the chet which brought about Amalek, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. We are misaking that by seeing the Shem Hashem in the Megillas Esther. The Amuri de Gavot for Rabbi Yonason Ivishitz, he says that the tefillah which Esther Amalka davened when she went into Achashverosh was Lamnatzeach al Ayelas Hashacha Mizmeh LeDavid. Lamnatzeach al Ayelas Hashacha. Ayelas Hashacha is daybreak. So the Gemara says in Yuma, Ma ayelas hashacha soif alaylo, just like ayelas hashacha, the daybreak is the end of the night. Af Esther soif anisim. Esther is the end of the nisim, so therefore ayelas hashacha, the last ness on that scale which happened to the Eden was Esther. There was the nisim in Mitzrayim, and then there was the nisim in Eretz Yisrael when Klal Yisrael came to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And the last ness is Esther. Esther is Soif HaNisim, and Ayelas HaShacha is Soif HaLaila. And therefore, Esther is Nimshalol Ayelas HaShacha. What's going on over here? Nisim. Nisim is night or Nisim is day? So you would have thought, Nisim is day. Nisim is when everything is clear, everything is begolui. When the Nisim stop, day ends and night begins. Right? So if Esther is Soif HaNisim, you would have thought that Esther should be Seisakei Chovim. Esther is Seisakei Chovim. Rather than saying Lamnatzeach al Ayelas HaShacha, that Esther is Soif HaLaila, Ayelas HaShacha is the end of the night. and the day begins, right? When the Nisim end, and there's no more Nisim from now on, that's not the end of the night. That's the end of the day. Does it say Sakhi Chavim? From now on it's dark. From now on it's light. From now on it's dark. Lamnatzeach ha-yeles, al-yeles ha-shacha. Surely it should be Lamnatzeach al-tzei Sakhi Chavim. He says, Murid Gezach. He says, up until this point, Klal Yisrael were used to an hoga of Gilui. Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim with Nisim Gluim. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a Asor Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. Golus Bavel was the very first time Klal Yisrael in Golus. Being in Golus, Klal Yisrael were not accustomed to this matzav. And what's the Ribbono Shel'olam's anhaga with us? And they thought that we're in a matzav of Golus, the Ribbono Shel'olam has left us. There's hest upon him. What does the Ribbono Shel'olam show in the Nes of the Megillah? That no, you might be in Golus. Oh, but the Ribbono Shel'olam is there working out the events in an entirely different way. Not Begilui. But the Ribbono Shel'olam is there even during the Golus. And even when it's dark, seemingly, and even when the Nisim can't be begolui, because we're not up to scratch, we're not up to the standard, but nevertheless, there will be Nisim, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will look after us. And therefore, Megillah, in the Nes of Esther, is Sof HaLaila. At this point, the night finishes, because there is no Laila. There is no Laila. When there's Nisim Geluyim, so we'll think, right, so as long as there's Nisim Geluyim, the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. But when the Nisim Geluyim are going to end, it's Laila. The period of Nisim Gluim is Laila in comparison to the Nes of Purim. Because the Nes of Purim tells us there is no Laila. The Ribbono Shel Olam is there. And he's there even during the night. And therefore the Laila is no longer a Laila. It's a Yoim. From Esther teaches us that the Klal Yisrael, the Netzach Netzachim, Teshuasam or Yisrael or Netzach, the Sikvasam, Bechol Dor Vador. What's the Nes of Esther got to do with Bechol Dor Vador? The Teretz is because the Nes of Esther teaches us about how the Ribbono Shel Olam is knowing with us in the Zmanim of Hest upon him. There might be a Hest upon him, oh, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is still there. Esther min haTorah minayin, v'anoichi haster asti ponai bayim ahu, says Rabbi Yonason. Esther min haTorah minayin, v'anoichi haster, the Ribbono Shel Olam will be master himself, but nevertheless, Esther, there'll still be an Esther even during the Hester upon him. But Noichi Hester, there'll be a Hester, but nevertheless, there'll still be an Esther, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will still be there with us. Amen. Amen.